When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to Literati, a podcast about books and the idiots who write them. And by idiots, I mean kind, wonderful people who we respect and admire.
We are your hosts, Colin and Michael, and books are our lives.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Other people have jobs, hobbies, friends, loved ones, but not us.
Nope.
Just books for us.
And that's exactly how we like it.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably wondering, what makes you two qualified to host a podcast about literature? Well, if you must know, I was the first person to discover the 27th letter in the English language. I've named it Klemp. It's somewhere between a T and a U, and unfortunately, it smells like shit.
Yeah, it's real bad.
Uh-huh.
And I invented a line of hair products just for writers called Gore Vidal Sassoon. And guess what? It smells like shit.
Yeah, Colin, I've been meaning to talk to you about it. Your hair looks great, but I don't want to be near you anymore.
No, it's understandable.
If it's, you say that this shampoo is just for writers.
Yeah.
What would happen if a non-writer used it?
Oh, you don't want to, I mean, your hair would start falling out.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, your scalp burns. It would burn, yeah.
So it's really very, a specific audience.
Yeah, yeah. It takes us, because it's sort of like mixes with the sort of desperation and, you know, fear of failure.
Yeah, burnt coffee smell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sort of mixes with all that, so you need to be a writer.
I get that.
Yeah.
I once used a cologne that was specifically just for strong men.
Uh-huh.
And, well, let's just say I still can't walk upright.
Oh, God.
But anyway, Colin and I are obviously doing this podcast all the time and reading books all the time, but often the books that we're reading are the biggest and the best and the most known classic works. I mean, I've got a tome in my left hand and a tome in my right hand.
Oh, yeah, you're double fisting tomes, and it looks cool.
It does look cool, and it's helping my biceps get stronger.
Yeah, you don't get a lot done during the day.
No.
Since you've sort of taken your hands and arms out of the equation.
But I've always got a tome when I need one.
Yeah.
And so we're not always up to what the kids are reading.
No.
And what the kids are writing.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to take a minute and just sort of check in on what some of the best-selling books that are currently out right now, what those books are like, and maybe see, is this something we're interested in? Maybe we could get excited about them, or more likely realize that they're bad, shitty books, and that we're doing well to stick to our Iliads and Odysseys.
That is probably what's going to happen, but, you know, we like to say that we're open, and so we're going to give it a shot.
Never had my mind changed before, but
nope.
Today could be the day. All right, we're going to look at the paperback trade fiction charts.
Let's open it up.
New York Times bestsellers. Number one, 4 weeks on the list, is The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein. Don't like that name.
Nope.
And let me just read the description. An insightful lab terrier mix helps his owner, a struggling race car driver.
Ugh. I feel like you got two. Yeah, there's dogs in here. It could just be about dog racing. And then you got a car driver, racer.
It, like, just too much. You've got
one.
Too much,
yeah,
going on. Is your
one
book about cars, or is your book about dogs?
Yeah.
And then it's Racing in the Rain. I'm sorry. I hate to be a stickler. That sounds dangerous.
That's very dangerous.
Wet roads don't drive.
Yeah.
Also, the description, helps his owner, a struggling race car driver. I thought there was going to be a helps him what?
Wait, so this dog is the protagonist too? Like, is that?
I prefer a book with just one character.
One character, one type of racing.
Art of Racing in the Rain, two thumbs down. Okay, next, 50 weeks on the list. This book is called The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Oh, I hate to really burn a book about Auschwitz.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it. I'm going to say this sounds like shit already. Yeah. It's written by Heather Morris. And let's see, maybe the description will lighten the mood. A concentration camp detainee tasked with permanently marking fellow prisoners falls in love with one of them. Okay. I think, personally, if you're in Auschwitz and you're getting a tattoo, let that tell the story. We don't need a book about the tattoo.
If you're on a vacation to Auschwitz... Yeah. And you're getting a tattoo. I wouldn't advise it. It just seems
unnecessary. Sicko wants to write a book about Auschwitz.
Yeah. Also, the only tattoos I want to see or hear anything about is
going.
Dave Navarro's Ink Masters.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's the only one I'm concerned with.
And I like the ones
I'd read a book about Dave Navarro's Ink Masters.
Oh,
is that
do you think anybody's
called?
Written
Ink Masters?
That? Yes, it
okay,
is.
Great.
I have shot a thing with them in New Jersey.
Oh, yeah?
It sucked. Everybody there had exactly the attitude they look like they have. It's like if emo pop punk bands of 2003 suddenly got a reality show all about tattoos.
The apartment I live in right now, initially it had a lot of people who had a lot of tattoos. And I was like very into the idea of having a new group of friends who had a lot of tattoos.
Mm.
Turns out. Just a very dramatic group.
Yeah, you know what that problem there is, Colin? You're making image-based decisions.
Yeah, I know.
Once again.
But I thought I could be the cool non-tattooed friend inside a group of
everybody
friends.
Everybody would
with
be
a
like, wow, look at this guy brave enough to stand out without any tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was
very
hoping for.
Cool. Okay, we're going to jump down to number 7, which has been on the list for 63 weeks, and it's titled Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine by Gail Honeyman.
So, I know... Timothy Oliphant.
Mm-hmm. And I know big elephants.
And also,
who's this about?
Yeah.
I know Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah.
Also, it's called Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. Methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Yeah. Or if she's telling the truth, then this isn't a story. Is there no drama? I mean, we
have given our listeners now years of advice.
Yeah.
And one of the main things we say is conflict, conflict, conflict.
Well,
avoid it in your personal life, but pump it into your writing.
Yeah. And so this just sounds like there's no story here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to read it. I'd just rather watch Timothy Oliphant on
Justified. Oh.
Or Justified.
Which one? I've...
Or, you know what? I'm going to say the Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh.
That would be my...
God,
my...
I wish they made a book out of that.
Oh, I'd eat it up.
Okay. We got time for one more. Let's see. How about The Warning by James Patterson and Robinson Wells?
Oh, the guy from Twilight made
No,
a
we
book?
Made that joke last time we did this section. Yeah. So I'm going to just stop that one in its tracks for longtime listeners. Sorry, we're not going to edit that out. I'll read the description. A small southern town is not the same after a power plant accident. Too vague. Get more specific. Also, I don't think it's fair that you have two people writing a book. What's your take on that, Colin?
Yeah. Look, if you can't do it on your own, it's not worth doing.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
My co-host.
Yes, my co-host.
So I'm just going to go. There's like 40 more books, and these are, of course, just the ones that are in paperback. I'm going to just go ahead and say they all look like shit.
Yeah.
I don't want to read any of them.
No, I agree. I don't want to read a single one of these books. We gave it a shot, though.
If anything, I'll go to the library, leaf through them, tear out the pages that I like, go home, boom.
Yeah.
Free reading. That's one of our insider tips here at Literati. You don't have to pay for a book if you go to the library and tear out pages bit by bit. Everybody's going to Amazon.
I was wondering why your bookshelf, it never looked like there were books on your bookshelf. It just looked like individual pieces of paper that lined your bookshelves.
I am spending so much money on staples.
Yeah?
Because I have to staple them all together bit by bit, and then at the end I take a big binder clip.
But they're different books.
Yes, it's sort of like a collage style approach to reading.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Yes, thank you. It sort of represents my mind, fragmented, chaotic, but ultimately unrewarding. But you know, what's not unrewarding is having a friend in the studio.
Oh.
And unfortunately, our friends were very busy.
Yeah.
So we got a professional in the medical field. to come. Someone who we know from comedy and who you might have seen at Comedy Central or the Comedy Cellar or what's another?
The third? Apollo.
Or the Apollo.
Yeah. Just, but she's walking away from all of it.
Yes, to get this, folks. Approach a career in medicine?
That sounds like a waste of time if you ask me, but hey, that's her choice.
I always say laughter is the best medicine, and I guess we'll find out if that's true or not.
Yeah.
Please welcome to Literati our guest, Natasha Vainblatt.
Doctor.
Sorry, let's take that again. Please welcome to the podcast, Dr. Natasha Vainblatt.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
Oh,
yes, because and I'm so glad you corrected it, because otherwise I wouldn't have come on.
Oh, yeah, you had one foot out the door.
I did. Yeah, it's just so important, you know, that I transition into my professional world as a doctor. So you have to introduce me that way. I've put too much time and effort into becoming a medical professional.
Oh, I totally hear you. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
Titles are everything.
Mm-hmm.
They really are.
And I mean, it's also that's what you're putting out to the world. You know, and the world will respond.
Exactly. I'm going to have a medical degree.
Now, what's an Esquire?
What is an Esquire?
Yeah, because that's one of those titles that people have. Yeah. And I see it come up on drop-down menus.
And
when
I know it's a magazine
DVDs.
That I subscribe
yes.
to.
Yes. Oh, I think it's an old-timey squire, but for the digital age.
An
so
e-squire.
It's actually an e-squire.
Oh, I got
okay.
that.
Yeah.
Cool. That
okay.
makes sense. Okay. Sounds like I'm almost one of those.
Wow.
Well, so Dr. Natasha Vainblatt,
yes.
We're so excited to have you here, but I got to say, frankly, we don't know what the hell you're going to be reading because
okay.
we're used to fiction authors who
right.
read stories about one character overcoming one issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to come on comedy shows. And people book me as a comedian, and I say absolutely not. I mean, I say yes, I'll come.
Yeah.
But then I don't do any comedy. Instead, I read very dry medical texts.
Okay.
And that's just because I think we're not giving medicine the kind of accolades, you know, and the attention it deserves. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be reading some excerpts from my soon-to-be-published medical journal.
Okay, yeah. Wow. So wait, you're publishing your own medical journal.
It'll be my own. Yeah, so it'll be a medical textbook. You can get it on Amazon.com.
Okay, well, I do have a good workaround if you don't want to go to Amazon.
Is it that library thing that
you
mentioned?
Were listening to the intro?
Yeah.
Yes, that is the workaround.
Yeah, so this won't be, I mean, I will be placing it in libraries, but you're not going to find it on a library catalog.
Okay.
They keep, if whenever I am there, by the way, it might be in the fiction section, but you need to, if you see that, you need to take it and you need to move it right to the medical journal section.
All right. Yeah. So that's a call to action for our Literati listeners. If you find Dr. Natasha Vainblatt's work in the fiction section, just go ahead and move that to the...
I don't know why they keep doing it. It feels like a prank
annoying.
From, you know, my comedy days or something.
Yeah,
but,
that's annoying.
Yeah.
Well, we're so excited to hear... some excerpts from your medical journal.
Take it
What's
away.
The medical journal going to be called?
It's going to be called Official Medical Journal, No Jokes.
That sounds really official.
That's I'm like now I'm getting mad that they're putting it in
know.
The wrong section for
it's
you.
Insane.
Like it's in the title, No Jokes.
Totally.
Why would you put it in the comedy
I am
fiction
section? You know what it is? I am wearing fake teeth in the photo.
Wait, you have a Patch Adams approach to medicine.
The thing is, I don't.
No.
Oh, okay. So
I'm
how did what happened? Did you forget that it was photo day?
You know how some people grind their teeth at night?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I know. I got TMJ, baby.
Yeah. So I grind them only during the day.
Oh. Just kind of to help you focus.
Yeah. I'm mostly just so stressed at when people talk to me.
Mm. You know what you should do is drink coffee.
Oh, you know, I've tried that.
It helps me focus. It helps
I can't even
me.
Get it. You know what I do, though? I chew it up, and this is a problem.
Oh,
so I go, So okay. A lot of it doesn't get in my mouth. But anyway, so I kept busting through my night guard.
Yeah.
And so what I...
That's funny, because I've been busted through my nightgown. Because I don't know if I'm buying the wrong size or if I'm doing the wrong side of the squats, because my ass is huge, and I'm
so
busting
the,
out of
the,
my nightgown.
Your behind is busting through the dress?
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, wow.
I am
Wait,
tearing.
You know what? Did you get that? Did you get that from mango.com?
I don't tell the listeners where I buy my clothes, but I will say that right now there's a Labor Day sale at mango.com,
yeah,
which will that no longer be applied trash. When we release this episode.
And they are not one of our sponsors.
No.
Yeah. So please that's just don't a free buy clothes plug. From them.
So you wear fake novelty teeth.
I wear fake novelty teeth to prevent my teeth from grinding
Got
when
it.
I'm having conversations
during
with
the day. Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. I have very sensitive eyes. So to sort of protect my pupils and irises from that, I wear the glasses with eyeballs yes. that fall out with slinkies attached.
Absolutely.
And it just sort of, any time that the sun's really bright, I just put those eyeballs right back up.
Those also work if you're staring at an eclipse.
Oh.
I mean, obviously, if they fall out, that's a problem.
You're in trouble.
But
yeah.
You just have to keep them in.
Which isn't, it's not that hard to do.
It's not
if you're
hard.
A kid,
you just
that's
have to
hard.
Have the
For
right
me,
angle. Your yes. head at the right angle.
It's all about yeah. the angle.
It's
well,
all about the angle.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
let's
sorry,
say,
yeah.
These tips, these medical tips and tricks,
I know.
I'm so excited to hear more. Please take it away, Dr. Natasha Vainblatt.
I should also preface this by, sure. So the kind of medicine I practice is not just kind of random medicine that doesn't feel necessary. You know, what I want to do is I want to help the people directly. So what I do is I actually answer medical questions that citizens leave in Quora. Do you know that website, Quora?
Oh, yes, I yeah. do. I it's like a Yahoo Answers.
Correct, yeah. Right. Okay. So there's a lot of medical questions that just aren't being addressed. So what I do is I answer these questions that I find.
Oh, that's great.
Okay. Great, okay, wonderful.
Yeah, so here's one of my medical answers.
Okay.
So the question is, can your penis fall off naturally? Okay, so my response is 100%, and here's how. So the shaft of your penis, which is full of blood and guts, is connected to the rest of your body with skin and guts. If that connection is loosened or severed, your penis will drop off. How can that connection loosen? If you spend the next 80 plus years gently tugging on your penis, pulling it from your body, this will cause the skin to become more elastic. If at that same time you expose the area where your shaft connects to your body to harsh winds and cold, the skin connecting your shaft will begin to dry and flake. If you do not moisturize the area, the flakes will start to peel off. And if at the same time you contract whooping cough and don't have access to modern medicine, the continual contractions from your abdomen will shake all the flaking skin off your shaft and cause your penis to naturally pop off. Okay, and so you can't see this because it's on the page, but the same gentleman who asked the question said, okay, but what if I never touch my penis? I followed up. Let's say you never touch your penis. It's perfectly connected to the rest of your body. Guess what? Your penis will still fall off. Okay? Here's how. If you happen to score tickets to the zoo and are given the privilege of entering the gorilla cage, perhaps you've befriended the zookeeper or have won a contest. I don't know your life. If on that day you wear loose-fitting sweatpants that have gotten thin from years of wear and that gorilla is a female who is in heat and sees the outline of your penis from your very thin sweats, she could wrap her fingers and opposable thumb around the shaft of your penis, at which point a simple tug from the lady gorilla can pull your penis clean off. Yeah, so that's, we kind of stopped talking there. I think he blocked me, I think is what is officially, I couldn't continue to add information. But that's just one of the
Oh wow! I also like it because it kind of acts as a how-to for anyone who's looking to get rid of their penis as well.
Yeah, obviously I don't condone that. I mean, unless that's something that you want, so be it. I think you know everyone deserves a penis if they want their penis.
Yeah,
you know
if
what
they
I mean.
Want
and if
it,
they
yeah.
don't,
but not
want
everyone
it,
does. Yeah,
of course. Donate
I'm just realizing
it.
Now that I should not have eaten all of those sausages right before recording because I'm not feeling that great.
Oh, no.
Well, luckily
I'm feeling
we have
a little nauseous.
Yeah. I did see, I was walking over here and I was like, who is that? It looked like a little raccoon just eating a bunch of sausages
the
from
guy
the ground.
On the street cart.
And that was you.
The guy at the street cart said it's a one for a dollar or 15 for $50.
That was part of the, that was on the sign? Or he just said it?
He said that to me. Anyway,
and you're sure he wasn't like making a joke?
Because I've eaten from that cart. I've never had him offered.
All I know is that when I hear a deal like that, I'm going to whip out a $50 bill, pay for it, and have myself a dinner. But all I'm saying is right now, I'm wish I didn't, because that was so graphic.
Oh, sure.
And the medical, there's something about medical stuff that makes me queasy. I don't have the words for it.
Right.
This is also a good time to just let everybody know that I recently found out that both of my parents and my girlfriend's parents listen to the podcast despite me telling them not to. So just a big shout out to Mom, Dad, Don, and Carolyn.
Well, and future Mom and Dad, let's be honest.
Let's be honest, yeah. So if you guys are listening, just use those tips.
Wow, I can't believe we had our first proposal on Literati.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? I'd be honored. So that's really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
That makes me want to never befriend a zookeeper. And something that at once I would have thought this would be a great addition to my life.
Right.
I'm going to have to start. I do have a lot of zookeeper friends, and I think I might have to start distancing myself.
A lot of people
them.
Do. They're very friendly people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem because, again, they have access to animals in a way that humans should not.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think it's important, you know. I mean, zookeepers, I mean, it's similar to someone who has like a basement full of guns or something like that.
Right.
These are deadly creatures and they have access to all of them.
There's a reason that zoos have tall walls and cages.
Right.
You know, that's where the animals want to live.
Yeah.
They wouldn't go there if they didn't want to be kept separate from us.
Yeah.
The animals
wouldn't move there.
Yeah.
There's a door and it's locked.
Yeah.
But obviously they have the keys.
Yeah. Yes.
And if they wanted to get, it's their apartment.
They live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You give away the keys to your apartment? That's idiotic. Yeah.
No. Why else would the animals go through all the trouble of signing a lease and, you know, doing a credit check?
Training themselves to do tricks so they can get fed every once in a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's fantastic stuff. I am so glad that there's someone like you out there educating the masses.
Exactly.
But I also want to know, where do you get this information from? Have you, because you're Dr. Natasha Van Blatt, have you gone to college and medical school?
I've gone into lots of medical schools.
And just to clarify, you so you've just been inside medical schools, or you were enrolled in a medical school?
I've rolled into them. I've walked into them for sure. 100%.
Okay. The way you're saying that so confidently makes me just assume that you've answered the question that I asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I've seen dead bodies.
Okay. Yeah, that checks out. Yeah.
You don't see a dead body unless you're about to, you know, practice a surgery or
cut into them. So absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I wanna hear more. If you have more.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
But before we do another one, I just wanna know, so many of the guests we have on are real asshole fiction writers who they love to craft a world and follow a character's journey, and it's just a whole lot of hubbub, and I'm like, give me something real. So how do you go about writing medical truth? Because it's a different thing than when I sit down and I'm like, okay, what's the story, huh? What if there was a guy named Michael Wolff and he had a good job, you know, and then it's like the fiction just kind of spills out from there.
Of course. First of all, thank you for saying medical truth.
Yes.
Yeah, because that is what I'm using.
Yeah, for sure.
And so to answer these scenarios, you know, what I do is I do a lot of free writing.
Mm.
Yeah. So I say, okay, here's the question. And then I just kind of do kind of stream of consciousness stuff. A lot of times I dip back into Quora. You know, that's where I'm getting the answers. A lot of times I dip back in and I write, hey, guys, I'm trying to come up with a way to answer this question. I get those answers and then I combine those answers to give my
new
answer.
You're like an autodidact.
Yeah, sure. That's offensive to me, and I'm upset that you said that. But
I'm sorry. Well, I'm an equal opportunity offender. So that means that now I have to say something mean to Colin.
Okay, go for it.
Colin, your hair smells like shit.
Well, that's the Gore Vidal Sassoon. You know.
There is a musk to it.
Yeah,
for
right?
Sure.
It's thick. Yes. You can sort of see the lines.
Musk
coming
is
off
putting
of
it nicely. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, so so you're just sort of educating from, this is like a self-perpetuating machine where you're,
I'm a doctor of the people.
Yeah, that's so cool.
You
I'm
know?
So sick of these doctors who learn from these fancy hoity-toity and liberal.
Thank you.
You know, schools, these elite coastal schools, and then want to tell me what to do with my bad body? I want to know someone who is just kind of learning what their grandma taught them about what bugs to let bite you if you're sick.
Right. And God bless Grandma Bessie. She died from a beetle.
Yeah. Well, she knew she wanted to go, and she let that one beetle out that she said never. And then it was her time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so nice when old people know when it's their time and they kill themselves, you know?
What's worse than an old just hanging around for too long?
Oh, no, thank you.
And thank you for calling them an old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. I've had that. The friends who stay too long at the party, or, you know, as you're at a conversation and everybody just sort of seems to want to go their own way.
Yes.
And I find that applies very much to existence as
well. Exactly. Enough already. Donate your body to science.
Hey, Betty White, you're done. We got all we can. The good years are behind us.
Yeah, we've squeezed that lemon dry.
Yeah, that being said, if you're listening, we would love to have you on. So you got another bit?
Oh, you know it.
Of yes. information?
Right, because it's not a comedic bit. This is another journal
entry. If anything,
entry.
It's too dry.
No, and, yeah, and I think it's also great that you stepped away from comedy to enter the field of medicine, because, you know, we had Keng Zhang go the other way. Sort of tit for tat, one
yes,
for one.
Yes.
So it's great to
balance back out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, it takes a while to
load.
That's fine.
Because
these
funny.
Are in Quora.
Oh,
you know what
you
I mean?
You have to go onto the website.
So I have to
take
go
take your time
back.
To load it. Yeah. It's funny that you brought up stream of consciousness, because Colin and I have been talking a lot about it because we've been hearing about it. And it sounds to us like a good workaround from having to do a lot of the planning and kind of editing and sort of like forethought that goes
sorry,
into
I wasn't
a lot
listening.
Of- That's
it's
fine.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't worth it.
Well, Michael.
So you got another...
I sure do.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You let somebody walk all over you. You fool.
Oh, no. Your inner monologue is on.
Oops. Whoa. Okay. All set.
So this question came through Quora. Can I get herpes from a towel?
Oh,
there's a lot of responses from other non-doctors that said, absolutely not. No, of course not. That's ridiculous. Herpes is a virus that it can only be transmitted through skin-to-skin contact.
Hmm.
And that's when I was like, this is time to step in and really let people know the true danger. So this is what I wrote, okay? 100% you can get herpes from a towel, and here's how. Herpes is a virus that causes sores on your genitals and mouth. Doctors, in quotes here, say herpes can only be transmitted through skin-to-skin contact. So technically, a towel can't transmit herpes unless it's got some skin on it. Do you know that humans shed a full layer of skin every 2 weeks? Every 14 days, a human slips out of its skin coat. And what do humans dry their wet, flaky skin on? Towels.
Hmm.
But how many of these herpes-rich towels could there be in the world right now? Let's crunch the numbers. There's 7.6 billion people in the world. 50 to 80% of the world's population has herpes. Each of those infected people has about 3 towels, one for their face, one for their body, one for their butt. So that means there could be up to 18 million towels in the world all waiting to give you herpes. So let's say you're visiting a friend. She's in the bathroom. She's washing her face, dries her mouth sore with a towel. She doesn't even know she has herpes. 90% of people don't. You go in there right after her. You've been holding it and really have to go number two. Not a problem because there's no more toilet paper. She used the last bit. You reach for the only thing left, a freshly used towel. Wipe front, wipe back, wipe out. Game over. You've got herpes on your anus. Someone says, okay, what if I never use someone else's towel? I say, no problem. Here's how you get herpes. You always bring your own towel to the pool, the gym, the bris. You're at the gym, curling your big, strong, sexy biceps. You turn to the mirror to get a good look at your delicious self, at which moment some other guy at the gym, a real freak who gets off on going down on people with herpes, not sex shaming, just stating that could be fact, accidentally switches his herpes-covered towel with yours. You realize your mistake only after you've wiped your face. You drop the towel, vigorously wash your face, and dry it with a brand new towel. Uh-oh, it's the same towel. You got herpes twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed to be what I was thinking when I heard about herpes.
This makes sense.
Yeah.
When I hear this, it makes sense to me. Also, if I have a fear that's unfounded and someone tells me it's unfounded, I automatically don't believe them.
Right.
When someone tells me that my fears could actually happen, I'm like, this makes sense.
And then it's much easier to control you.
Yes.
Because you are now operating out of this place of fear. That's one of the things I love.
Yeah.
Control.
Working with Colin is because he's so scared all the time. I can get him to do just about anything with just a simple suggestion.
Yeah.
I
don't know about that, Michael.
Hey, Colin, why don't you go fetch my car? You remember how you were scared that you were going to get arrested because you were near someone who was smoking weed last month?
Yeah.
Well, I heard the cops are around here, and if you don't move my car around the block, they're going to get you.
Can I step out for just 1 second? I'll be right back.
Yeah, of course. Take your time.
I just got to go do something real quick.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
So that's just the sort of thing I'm talking about, where it's his mind is like, it's like a big stick of butter that's been out all day.
It's all loose.
Especially when he's fearful.
Oh, yeah. He's drooling like, oh, he's back.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I did it.
Oh, great.
Should be good.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I think your brains are leaking out of your ears or something.
Oh. That also might be the Gore Vidal Sassoon.
Oh, yes. Because it does smell the same.
It congeals.
Yeah.
It
and I think I said it's not for writers. And I'm sort of on the fence of, I mean, I've never been published. So it's...
It's so easy. I haven't been published either. That's wild.
Yeah.
You have to self-publish. It's so easy. What are you waiting for?
I'm not self-confident.
Oh, okay. You have to get self-confidence first to self-publish.
Yeah.
I have a question. Once you have herpes, is it true that the only way you can get rid of it is by having sex with a virgin?
Well... Oh, wow. That's a great question. That is certainly 100% a way to do it.
Okay. But it's not the only way?
It's not the only way.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes. Huh.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh, no. And then I also have a question. If you do have herpes, you said there are people who like going down on people with herpes?
Correct.
And where they are... They're at some gym or something?
So I've never fully met them.
Oh, okay.
And I say fully met them because I've partially met them, you know, kind of like in glory hole situations.
Okay. You're doing research?
Well, mostly for pleasure, okay. I will say. But it's fun when research kind of, you know, happens.
It overlaps. Yeah,
definitely.
It's definitely a Venn diagram.
So do I know their names or numbers, you know, ASL, that sort of thing? I don't know.
Right, right.
Yeah, but for sure, they exist.
Cool. Okay.
I just joined a gym.
Oh,
and,
good.
It's not going great.
Right. Well, it's hard when you got a really bad body. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, I don't know where to start. And the check-in person who just has to scan my little barcode just laughs the minute I walk in the door.
Well, also, when they ask, like, what are you trying to work on? What's your ideal body? You usually say, I'm just trying to balance out the rest of this with my ass because I'm busting through my nightgown and I just want the rest of it
I just want an equilibrium.
Yeah. I just want it to look... Not out of proportion.
They asked me, what are your goals? Because I paid $7,000 to get 10 minutes with a personal trainer. And they said, they said, what are your goals? And I just said, Danny DeVito.
Your goals are, so that is to have the body of Danny DeVito.
I would love to come close.
That is smart that you said that because you, had 10 minutes?
I had 10 minutes.
So really, you do have to dial it down.
Yeah. And you go for what is... closest to what you already look like.
Exactly. But I would kill to have Danny DeVito's bod.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah. Well, it's true. But right now, I've been using the gym. Mostly they've just had me kind of being one of the weight racks.
You are a weight rack.
Yes.
So that means you're holding the weights?
So I'm down on all fours and there's a bunch of weights on my back.
Okay.
Which they get pretty heavy, so that is a good workout. And then they take a barbell, and I used to have an innie belly button, but now I have an outie.
Okay.
They tie it to that, and that's hanging down there.
I have a question.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is everyone else who goes to the gym kind of in leather always and just kind of whacking at you?
Yes,
with some
it's
sort
like
of
three
whip.
Stories underground.
Yeah. You have to call them madam.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah, you're going to Equinox.
Okay, well,
that's where you're going wrong.
I know Equinox is expensive. I know it's sort of political, and I wish right now, you know, they are supporting Trump, who we try not to say his name on this show, but I don't know any other way around
it. Honestly, it's been pretty easy to avoid saying his name because
we've avoided it for about how many episodes have we done? Like 1,000?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much all nonsense on the.
But anyway, so I don't want to support Trump, but I did get Equinox. They helped me sign up for a smaller amount every month, but yeah. I did have to sign a I did have to sign a 15-year contract. But it's only $250 a month. So
okay.
It kind of evens out
for them. And you're doing, it seems like you're doing just the sex dungeon location.
Yes, that's it's only one location. It's that one that's two or three stories underground. And they said, soon I will work up to where I can touch the weights, not just have the weights touch me.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, your back does look different, I will say.
Yeah, it's got a lot more dense.
Yes.
And I would love to maybe, just if you have a minute afterwards, to show you some of the other things that are wrong with my body.
I would, you know, I can't.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't even have a minute.
Honestly, I was expecting a no, so you just delivered what I was hoping for. Now, you did say the word genitals.
I did.
That means penis and vaguli.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Genitals is the fancy doctor word for a penis or a vaguli.
God, I every time you say it, I start to drool. Huh. It sounds like a delicious Italian meal, and I just start. It's like
that's a
Pavlovian response.
Yes.
So you know, I have never heard that for genitals, but you know, if it sure,
is
that
it
could
hard
be
to keep balanced in your mind all of the normal words and all of the doctor words?
Oh gosh, you know. Well, first of all, I don't like to call the normal words. I call Muggle words.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Of course.
And then of course there's the medical words. So the Muggle words I do keep in my brain, but I don't like them. You know,
right.
they're stinky, and I don't think they should have equal rights.
And a Muggle is a kids' TV show.
Oh, Muggle. No, a Muggle is from the Harry Potter universe.
It's another word for a penis.
Oh, okay.
It's a historical. Harry Potter, of course, we also know is a wonderful historical book.
Oh, yeah.
A historical text of what life used to be like.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite biographies.
Mm,
yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have another?
I have one more. Sure.
Wonderful. We'd love to hear it.
I mean, I have about 10,000, but I understand that, you know, perhaps we don't have time and I want people to still buy the book.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you can't. I mean, why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free?
Yeah. Why buy the book when you can rip the pages out and then just put them on your
exactly.
bookshelf?
And exactly. And this is sort of that, but with a limit where people can listen. They can get a little bit of a snippet. That's how we should brand the show. Is
how?
Get a snippet of your favorite author and then go buy the book and I don't
brand
know. We got to do
show,
something.
Brand the show. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Brand the show.
The show.
Huh.
Huh.
Should we rename it Lit AF?
Oh, yeah.
That would be a pretty good name for
it. Oh,
right?
I love that. Especially with your new mango wardrobe.
It's going to look great. Could you not tell the listeners about the purchases I've gotten?
Yeah, well, you're just so proud of them.
Yeah, what we talk about off air before the show.
Yeah, I kind of opened myself up. Honestly, was feeling really good about making a bunch of purchases at what I thought was a cool, new, hip.
I mean, it's called Mango.
If things are called everything. The Gap?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if you're going
Michael's
to a clothing store that's named after an SNL character from
mood. I'm in a real 90s. Bad mood. And not just because of this. I just got a big rejection letter
from
from what?
Simon and Schuster. Neither of them want to date me.
I didn't realize they were even.
You sent them a letter?
I sent them a letter asking
them
if they'd like to go on a date, and they sent me a rejection letter.
Wow.
That's tough.
That is tough.
I sent to each one. I started with Simon, obviously.
It's just one address.
Yeah, Michael,
yes,
you're going to...
it's care of.
Oh, okay, that's smart.
Yeah, but
smart.
Michael, it's going to get back to them. It's going to get back that they're like, oh, I just got this letter asking me out. They're like, I just got this letter asking me out. Who is it? They find out it's you. They're going to be annoyed.
It's not special that
way.
Yeah. Well, now I'm back to trying to fuck a penguin.
And that's fine. Because just know that they mate for life.
Okay.
So when you...
Yeah, that's a... Oh,
yeah.
If I have a fear of anything... It's elastic. If I have a fear of two things, it's commitment.
And I think both are equal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we?
Yeah, please.
So a woman wrote, and I'm keeping everyone's identity secret, by the way, just because, you know, kind of patient zero.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, you got so much criticism for the book for using their names.
I did. Using their names, using their addresses, using their, you know, photos.
Yeah. Totally. Using a Google Maps
of where
their
house is.
Yeah, using their social security
card. And the thing is, I need to do that because as a doctor, you have to know your patient's history and medical records so you can be informed.
It's called doctor-patient confidentiality.
Exactly.
And you have to be confident when you put out their information online.
Yeah.
Right. So I really don't know what that lawsuit's about at all. So I keep telling the judge, throw it out. You know what I mean? But Anyway, they keep making me come back to court. Okay, here we go. Can you get pregnant from sitting on your boyfriend's lap was the core question. Again, right? A bunch of yahoos said, no, absolutely not. It's only through penetration, penis into vagina. This is the reason why we have so many women in this country pregnant without a stable home.
Absolutely.
This is why. So here is what I say. 100%. And here's how. You're sitting on your boyfriend's lap, face to face. He's wearing jeans, button fly. The manufacturer of the jeans made an error. Put too much space in between the buttons. This leaves a gap wide enough for the tip of a penis to poke out its little head. Unbeknownst to you, your boyfriend is not wearing underwear. Hockey practice got too sweaty. The window in the living room is slightly ajar. It's springtime. A petal flies in. Your boyfriend is allergic. He sneezes. 0.00008% of men orgasm when they sneeze. Is that something you... Well, we'll talk about that after. He's one of those men. As he sneezes, his body contracts and pushes your crotch so it's directly above the hole where his penis pokes out of his buttonfly. Now, if you're a woman who has ever sat on a surface other than 100% cotton, the crotch of your pants is filled with microscopic holes. If one of those pit holes lines up with the exposed tip of your boyfriend's penis, no penetration necessary, you're pregnant. All right, so...
I'm never having kids. That is too... Yeah. That's too dangerous. I'm never even going to sit on Santa's lap ever again.
Yeah.
After hearing
you
this.
You can't. And here's the thing. Here's the problem. You don't even have to sit on your boyfriend's lap to get pregnant.
Right.
What?
Okay? Let's say you're nowhere near your boyfriend's lap. You're sitting across the room talking about something unsexual like magnets or roofers in your area.
I mean, that depends on the roofers in your area.
I get a lot of banner ads for hot single roofers in my area.
But you live in an area of the country plagued by cold fronts and a low pressure system. Outside your window, a southerly wind of 15 miles per hour changes to a southwesterly wind of 50 miles per hour at 5,000 feet altitude. Now you've got a tornado outside your window. Both of you get sucked into a wind vortex in the eye of the tornado. All of your clothes rip off and the wind sends your body onto his lap. The pull of the vortex creates a suction around your boyfriend's penis and sucks him right off. The semen is pulled out of his body and onto your lap. You're pregnant.
Oh, my God. That's 18 years right there.
Jesus.
Exactly. What do you mean that's 18? Oh, to have to be in jail for getting pregnant from a tornado.
I didn't know that was a law.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of laws out there you don't know about.
Yeah.
The old laws, that they just refuse to get rid of.
Yeah, you can't get married on a Tuesday.
Right. You can't get pregnant from a tornado.
I meant 18 years you'll have to take care of a kid before you can ignore them.
Oh, no. Yeah. You can kick him out at 7.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just like...
if they're advanced, if they're smart, you can probably send them on
If they're not feeding from the nipple, they're good to go.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The minute they unlatch.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible. I got to say, I wish I was getting the advice of a doctor like you from a much earlier age.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd make a lot of life changes.
Yeah. And I believe you had a question that you were going to ask us in the middle of there. If you want to,
are you both men that orgasm when you sneeze?
I think we can both answer at the same time. Yes, absolutely.
You look like it.
We're both very sexually fulfilled people.
Well, it just your brow is bigger.
Yeah, it's
there's
true.
Something.
I have a very thick ridge. I'll just say it doesn't stop at orgasming when I sneeze.
Oh,
when I sneeze, everything that could happen does.
Oh, so
it's a little bit from everywhere.
Yes,
full evacuation.
From every hole.
Yeah, it's a full evacuation.
Oh, I understand.
Wow, I this is so amazing. I do want to give our listeners are getting tons of great medical advice, but I also want to know some more writing advice for them. Like, let's say they're at home and they're like, oh, my book about a rocket ship that gets lost isn't very good. What if I was to write medical works?
Look, you can't enter into the medical field lightly. Into fiction writing, absolutely. Okay, every jagoff can get into fiction writing.
Yeah, most of them do.
Exactly. This is a higher art that it's going to take. Look, what is it? To become a professional doctor, you need to first spend 4 years walking in and out of universities.
Right. Okay? You got to roll in.
Right.
Walk in.
You walk
cut
in.
Cut a body.
Sit down somewhere. That
slice
sort of thing.
A dead body.
Slice
well,
a dead
that's
body.
Not until medical school.
Okay.
You know, so first you have to spend some time writing on papers, that sort of thing.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
And then you have to spend 4 more years, right, in and around some sort of medical school.
Just in the
yes.
vicinity.
Correct.
In the field. It's called being in the field.
In the field. Right. And then you have to spend, what, I think 2 more years just kind of loitering around a hospital, getting admitted, right, dressing up in the wardrobe, getting patients, you know, medicine, that
right.
sort of
handing,
thing.
Shaking people's hands as they
yes.
come in and out of the
right.
building. Now, Colin and I are famously words guys, not numbers boys. But I think that sounds like 2 decades.
It's 2 decades at minimum and at maximum.
So there are ways to be in the medical field without being a medical doctor.
Okay, so I don't agree with that. I am a medical doctor.
Okay,
yeah. And I have been. I keep. Sorry, I'm getting okay. very upset because this yeah. keeps happening to me.
Okay.
Even WebMD kicked me out.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
They let anybody in.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
you
obviously not.
You can't even
not.
Log on to that site anymore?
No.
That's
for
sucks.
Some reason, yeah. So there is just a real stigma against me, somebody who is trying to be a doctor of the people, for the people,
right.
by the internet, through the internet.
That's so fucked up that the medical field has a stigma against yeah. unlicensed doctors.
Yeah, that's some
really
real fucked up shit. I'm going to say it.
Thank
because
you.
You're trying to help people.
Yes.
Why wouldn't they want that?
I'm giving yeah. them a diagnosis that they're not getting from anybody else because everyone else is saying, no, that's not something you should be worried about.
Yeah, and yeah. Here's a diagnosis for all you people at WebMD. You're a bunch of idiots.
Thank
yeah,
you
get,
so much.
Get fucked, and why don't you go ahead and suck it off, too?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. And that's actually on your t-shirt right now.
Well, yeah. again, Colin and I are trying to brand the podcast yeah. better because this show is lit AF.
Yeah.
I just think I was trying to, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
That's
I was
okay.
trying to say that a field, there can be lots of different ways to express yourself except for the one main thing. Like in comedy, you don't have to be a famous professional good, funny stand-up comedian. You could also be a podcast host or an agent. Those are just ways to sort
those
of be in the
two options.
Comedy field without necessarily doing comedy or being funny.
Right. If I may press back against that
sure.
parallel, a comedian and someone who does a podcast is... It's just kind of like, you know, if we were in Shakespearean times,
yeah.
right? The podcasters are kind of the groundlings, you
sure.
know, but not even the people, I would say, kind of the trash that's being thrown
yeah.
at the groundlings.
Okay.
And comedians
I was a UCB
are like the
guy,
kings.
So
and,
I didn't do groundlings. I was more UCB. Groundlings is like LA,
that's an LA
right?
thing, yeah.
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 Is that a, is this
they
a
had
joke
that back
making?
In... So there was the
was
Globe,
like
and then there was also SNL. Groundlings back in Shakespeare's time,
huh.
too?
Yes. So, like, Del Close was friends with William Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And so...
They had 2 different schools.
Okay.
They started it
okay.
there,
okay.
and then the
Del Close went to Chicago.
Okay.
Right.
From England.
From England.
Okay. I do have another question. What
yes.
is a herald?
Yes. What really, who is a herald?
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And who is Harold? Harold is just kind of a guy who is kind of always starting scenes,
okay.
you know, and is always kind of tagging people out as soon as they get into his scenes.
Yes.
And he doesn't like to let the women talk in scenes. So that's Harold.
Okay. Well, wouldn't like to meet that guy,
yeah.
but he does sound funny.
Oh, he's very funny.
I have one more question while we're talking about comedy.
Yes.
Have you seen the web series The Triplets of Kings County?
Oh, God. You know what? I think, yes. Oh, wow. Yes, you know
and
what
could
it
you
was?
Plug it for our audience.
It was recommended to me. So I was watching a bunch of bullshit videos.
Yeah.
And YouTube has this algorithm that this Triplets popped up. It was like,
yeah.
hey, you seem to like trash, dog shit, garbage content.
Right.
And
okay.
it let me have that. And I honestly, you might have read my comment, but I said, I love trash, dog shit content. And even this is...
That's a lot of the feedback we've been getting, honestly, or we got 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what? The woman who plays the witch is really fun.
Oh, fantastic.
And she, I think,
really
will have
fantastic.
A career.
You're not going to like this, though. It was you. You're not going to like to hear this.
What?
A lot of our people who were in the web series forgot that they were in it.
It was sort of like a collective amnesia that sort of happened. Because a lot of people went on to have pretty good careers, and they all do seem to have forgotten that they were in it, because I don't see them posting about it. I don't see them sharing it. So it's like, Julio Torres, congratulations on your HBO special. Would it kill you to share an episode of a web series you were in 5 years ago? Oh, hey.
Wow. Oh, wow. God, because I thought, I guess because I've deleted all my tags, you know, like when you guys tag I just always delete it.
You've scrubbed yourself from that side of the internet.
I completely forgot.
Hey, Dan Chamberlain, why don't you take a minute off from writing for Jimmy Fallon and share a video you were in now about 5 years ago?
Yeah, no, they won't do that.
Yeah, and just again, love to have either Julio or Dan on the podcast.
Just respond to our emails and we'll find a time. We will work around your schedules. Well, any words, last words of advice for young aspiring writers who want to do what you do?
Look, it's not easy. You know, I will say that. It takes especially transitioning, but in a career where if you're not at first, you know, a medical writer. But I say, give it a go. You know, there's something that you're excited about, give it a go. And if there is a rash that you have on your body, I will say 100% it's cancer.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, you heard it here. That's 100%. Not a shadow of a doubt.
100% confirmed. All it's going to be cancer.
Okay, then I have to go to the ER now.
Yes, you should.
I thought that maybe I just rubbed up against my linen shirt too hard, but
no. Oh, yes, your butt is busting out of that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy because it's a shirt, but somehow your butt has managed to get all
it's
the way up.
It's a long shirt.
Yeah. You have a high butt.
You have a very high
butt. It rests very high on your body.
High and long. My ass starts from like my third vertebrae.
Well, because like when I first met you, I thought you had like a hunch, like a humpback. But
yes, I was like, oh, maybe he's like a Notre Dame.
My back famously.
Hey, French, it was your butt.
Wow. Yeah, it was my ass. My ass famously crests.
Yes.
I have this sort of like peak, like a mountain.
Well, it's not just that. You also have one very lazy eye.
And then the other one is like overactive.
Yeah.
And which makes the lazy one seem even lazier.
And that one long tooth.
Yeah.
And you know what? You work at a bell tower. You're always.
I don't work at the bell tower. I hang out at the bell tower. They will not pay me.
You're interning at the bell tower.
I'm interning at the bell tower.
There are a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Listen.
But no French accent. I will say you definitely lost that.
It didn't stick. It did not stick. So, you know, that's. I think that's good because that means I'm not stuck just working in France. I can work anywhere.
You can work at a bell tower anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a bell tower.
Maine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Port Authority.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to ring those Port Authority bells.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be this guy with an ass halfway up his back. Anyway, Dr. Natasha Vainblad, it's been a pleasure and a delight. I'm terrified of my body and the things that are happening to it.
And that's so crazy because that is the subtitle of my book.
Oh, wow.
You're going to be terrified of your body and the things happening to it. So thank you for that plug.
That's perfect. Everybody, check out the official medical journal, No Jokes. It's self-published. So where can
self-published. So you can find it on Amazon. I'll be putting it kind of in any kind of stand where there's newspapers. So I'll be putting it there.
And again, if you find it in the comedy or fiction section, move it right over to the nonfiction medical section of your local bookstore.
It's not funny. Whoever's doing that, it's not funny.
It's not funny. And you know what? I'm going to say none of this has been funny. The whole damn thing. This is a serious podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that chapter. Hey, but seriously, will you look at some of the stuff on my body? Because I have these open sores that are
absolutely.
And I have a couple sores that are closed up too much, if that makes sense.
Oh, I can open them up for
sure. Okay, great.
Just so you guys know, no gloves, only mouth. That's kind of how I work.
You're tugging my language.
Okay, I'm tugging your language.
Huh? And I gotta go.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.